Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show once again. We are looking at a Wednesday, March 27th, and the countdown to the rent.
Yeah.
To paying the rent.
Sure is counting down.
Counting down every day,
it's
folks.
It's dwindling.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could buy a lottery ticket. I guess the Powerball now is $750 million.
I'd never win that.
You never know. They are saying, you know, you have a greater chance of getting murdered while
struck by lightning.
While on a trip to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, it's like, I'm all set.
But
and it's $2, and then you don't even win the $2 back. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but the certain thing is, if you don't buy a ticket, you definitely won't win.
Yeah, that's very true.
You got to buy one, you know?
Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah. I mean, I have this joke that this guy was like buying tickets every day. Every week.
Right.
And hoping and, you know, nothing, you know. So then he decided he's going to pray to God and ask him for, he says, all I want is to win a lottery. So God tells him, would you meet me halfway and buy a friggin' ticket first? You know? So, yeah, you got to buy a ticket. You can't just win without. They say you could buy for that money 576 castles. Who we need so many castles? But did you know you can buy 38 cars? Only 38 cars because each one costs $19 million. It's the Bugatti La Voiture Noire.
No thanks. I'll buy a Jeep.
La Voiture Noire.
If I won that money, no one would even know I won it.
Really? 110%. You're not going to tell anybody?
No. I mean, I told my family.
Right.
But I'm not going to be living in a mansion with 17 cars. That's not what I'd do if I got rich.
Oh, what would you do?
I'd just keep living the life I'm living, except I get a one-bedroom apartment.
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe like a house with some
backyard. And what would you do with all the money, though?
I'd save it.
To do what?
And then when I die, my kids and my grandkids will get it. Like, right.
But what about
me and my family
going
to be rich forever.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I don't need... I might buy like nice shoes and nice cars, but I still wouldn't like go. I wouldn't blow it all. No,
yeah,
absolutely not. No,
I know.
When you have no money, you appreciate having it. I'm gonna hold on to that bad boy.
Yeah,
me and that 700 mil are cuddling at night for sure.
Yeah, but you know, it's not as pleasant as whatever you can buy with it.
Right.
What are you gonna do with the $750 million in cash in your bed? Come on.
Well, you'll probably only get like 300 of that, right? But still, it's a lot of money.
Probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still a lot of money.
Yeah. The odds are 292 million to one. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Somebody's
It's going to be someone from the South or Florida or New York. That's always what it is.
You never know.
Or like Sacramento.
Yeah, of all places you thought of Sacramento because you lived there, right?
I didn't live in Sacramento. I lived in San Jose.
Oh, San Jose. I get confused. Okay.
Good old San Jose.
Yeah. What can you do? Talking about Northern California, we're going to have a guest on the phone for a few minutes. She's going to talk about, I guess she lost everything in the fires in 2017. So she wrote a book and I thought it'd be interesting to hear about her, and plus she requested this show specifically, so you know you have to welcome them to the show. Yeah. So did you get some sleep last night, or do we have the same news over again?
I went to bed at like 11:30, 12.
Yeah. Were you able to sleep the whole night?
No, I woke up at like 3.
Yeah.
And I went back to bed, and then I woke back up at like 7:45.
Yeah, well, that doesn't count when you wake up for a few minutes, though, right?
Yeah, it was like a quick, like, why am I up? I'm going back to bed.
Right.
Yeah. So.
I know. Well, I went to sleep at 3, so I have an excuse, but I'm okay.
Yeah, that sucks.
I'll do just fine.
Mm.
So my mom is back in the hospital, of course,
as always,
because what they do is she goes in because she can't breathe. So her caregiver took her to the hospital again. They give her oxygen. They give her all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
She goes home after a few days. The first thing she does, light up a cigarette.
Yeah, she needs to chill.
So she needs to chill, and I'm trying to figure out how are we going to do this, because we're totally baffled, because that's all she has to do. I mean, that's all she does.
Yeah, she needs to chill.
Watch TV and sit outside and smoke her cigarettes, but it's too much. I told her, you don't have lungs. You can't enjoy this anymore. And they wanted to give her, like, oxygen tank, but then they say if she smokes, you can't, because it'll blow up. So I told her, it's either the oxygen at home or the cigarettes. You have to decide, you know?
She's probably going to go with the cigarettes, honestly. Yeah. Yeah. She wants to go down smoking.
She does, you know, but it just shows you. And I personally don't think it's so much the addiction to nicotine, although it probably has some. But when they give her a patch and all that, that doesn't matter. It's a question of behavior. You have to modify your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And how do you do that when you're in a fucking wheelchair and you barely leave the house? Mm. How do you change that? What do you suddenly start to do, you know? So it's hard, man. So, but
you got to put those cigarettes down.
I know, but I told her, I said, you know, we're not going to keep bouncing you to the hospital back and forth. It's irritating. My brother was pissed, you know. He's like, she does this to herself. And we do it a million times.
Yeah, but he
already can
be pissed all he wants. She could be gone tomorrow. So tell him to shut up.
I know. I wanted to.
Yeah, because then he's going to miss driving her to the hospital.
I know.
That's how life works.
He's done a lot for her. There's no doubt. But so have I. And it's your mom, you know. You don't say I'm sick of it.
Yeah, you just gotta do it.
Yeah, I just think he's been in a bad mood.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, that's one thing my dad never did was complain about my Nana. I don't think I ever heard him complain. I could tell that he was frustrated. She was a difficult diva for sure. But he never, especially when it was coming towards the end.
Yeah,
he'd drive there every single day, 2 hours on the road if he had to.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go see her almost every day too.
Mm-hmm. You got to, because you just don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know how much longer they'll be here, you know?
Yeah, you know, she was left alone. My dad died, so it's not a pleasant thing. Thankfully, she's got a caregiver. But I told her, I said, enough with this taking you back and forth. If you continue with this, we'll just take you to a home where she can't smoke anyway. And even if they let her smoke outside, when she can't breathe, let them take you to the hospital.
Yeah, that could be really pricey, though.
I mean, no, not more than what we're paying now. You know how much it costs to have a fucking caregiver there 24/7?
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's probably the equal, it should be about the same.
It was about the same, yeah. So we decided to keep her at home.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, aging parents, man. What the fuck are you going to do, you know? So it's one of those things that you don't know. You want to fix, but you don't know how.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm scared to see my parents get old.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even mentally prepared for that, to be honest with you. Like, seeing them get, older and, like,
right, but it
immobile.
Happens so gradually that you just get used to it.
No, but then one day it's like, they're really old. You know?
Yeah, but it's not one day, I'm telling you. It's not like you're going to go, wow, look, my parents are old. No, you get old together.
Yeah.
You all get older, you know? Yeah. So last night I went to this thing, and it was like I was invited to this group for entrepreneurs who, like, share experiences and
like
help each other. Yeah. Like, not a business meeting, but we were sitting around the conference table.
Right.
Everybody's saying what they do and how they got there and what they
contribute. So, like,
snacks? Snacks.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
But, look, if you're into it, you would like it. Like, for example, there's this one chick that does social media for her clients.
Mm-hmm.
So she came in. She's very young. But she knows her stuff, you know. And then we're talking about, it seemed like there were the older crowds, like I was probably the oldest one there.
Right.
But still, I mean, there was the old crowd of like the under 30 and the over 40 or something.
Right.
You know? Like two different groups. But it was cool because you learn from each other, just like here on the show.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I told them that. I said, you know, you got to be with someone that knows shit you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you don't learn, man.
Those type of events are not for me. I get bored way too easily. Like it's like a snooze fest for me.
I was dozing off there for a while. But for the most part, no, I like it. I mean, it's something that I do, you know.
Right.
And I love meeting people. I really do. So you find a group. If I won't like it, I'll leave. But it's every 2 weeks for 2 hours. Who cares, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool. But I met some cool people. You never know who you, if you're going to pick up a client or two.
Right, right. You know.
But it was amazing to me how some of the guys had no clue about social media, like how to do
right, it. Right,
right. What it is, anything.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know how to work. Like, I'm still slowly learning, too. But there's people that are, like, experts at it.
Yeah, I know. They do it all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you put a lot of hashtags on your posts?
Sometimes. And then other times I'm just so lazy. I'm like, I don't care about this. Right. Like, I really don't care. Does this even work?
Right.
You know?
Some people copy and paste and they just don't care. They
have to start doing you can do that too.
That's a lot easier. But no, but I think that's the best way to get new people because they won't they wouldn't find you unless they did a search on that hashtag.
Yeah, sometimes up, I think sometimes it's beneficial.
No, it is. It's like in keywords in Google, you know, you got to have it there so people can find you.
Right.
And you get to connect to those trends. So, you know, if you put in like hashtag Wendy Williams, whatever I have her in front of me here, but then people that look for the shit, bam, your post will come up.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting how the social media work differently. You know, one does this, one does that. Mm-hmm. But all in all. So I brought up Wendy Williams. Do you know who she is?
She's on TV. Yeah, of course I do, yeah.
I guess she was drunk and rushed to the hospital. And this is right after, I guess her husband has an alleged mistress.
Mm-hmm, who just had a baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this, it's probably, they don't know if it's because of that, but it happened just after it.
Right.
Can you imagine the devastation it could be?
No, she's heartbroken.
Yeah.
And she's battling addiction, so that doesn't help.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. She went to a sober house and then left, and now she's back
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's pretty lousy, man.
Right.
But
she needs to,
wouldn't you,
she needs to cut ties with this man. And when you get married, there's a, basically, marriage is like a legal, you guys have like a contract between you two. He broke his contract. Right. He can't take half her shit.
He cheated
on her and had a baby.
But legally,
he's not supposed to do that. When you cheat, you get
illegal.
Fucked.
But it's not illegal.
Yeah, but he can't take half her shit. He broke his vows. He broke that contract.
What do you mean half her shit? You think she's going to get everything? Is that what you're saying?
What do you mean? When they get divorced?
She'll get half.
What do you mean? She's way richer than this motherfucker. That dude ain't shit.
I see.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
right.
If he was rich, she could take like all his shit.
Right.
You cheated and I'm leaving. And they've been together for 20, 25, 30 years.
Right. But the law doesn't really protect anybody.
No, it does. No? Yeah, it does.
What?
From cheating?
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, it does. I mean, Google it.
Google what?
Google what happens when you cheat in a relationship. You'll get nothing. That guy's going to get nothing. So no, she needs to leave him now.
I find it hard to... Okay, well, let's continue talking about it after the guest. She's calling in now. Let me just bring up the notes here. And let's pick up the line. Hold on a second. There we go.
Sure.
Regina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. We're joined by Regina Powers. You're calling from Northern California. Where approximately are you?
I'm in Sonoma.
Sonoma. Where is that? Is that like in relation
wine
to
country?
Yeah,
up by
right.
Napa.
Right,
yeah,
but
yeah.
People don't understand where that is. Is that like north of San Francisco?
It is. It's about 35 miles north of the city.
Oh, I see. Okay, sounds good. So you're outside the city, but you still have California lifestyle, I guess. Although Northern California is different from Southern California. It seems to be a rivalry sometimes. You know?
I used to live in Santa Monica, so I still have a...
Oh, you did?
I still have a love for that area.
So you left the crowds and you went to greener pastures, right? As you say.
I guess you could call it that. There's a lot of grapes.
Yeah. Anyway, Regina, you wrote to me and you said you had written a book. You lost everything in the NorCal fires in October 2017. Remind us a little bit about this because I remember the one from, I guess it was November of 2018, the campfire. But this, apparently you're talking about a different one.
You know, it was the beginning of that round of fires up here in Santa Rosa, and I was living in Glen Ellen, which is the next town to Sonoma.
Right.
And it was they called it the Tubbs Fire, and then some of the vineyards were lost, and people's homes and people's lives, and that night, it was interesting, in Glen Ellen, we had the fair, and we had, you know, for the first time kind of met our neighbors, because a lot of the places in Glen Ellen are very isolated. You know, people have horses and vineyards, right. So they're kind of closed off and isolated, and that day they have a fair every year, and you know, people were playing music, their kids were all there, all the farmers were out sharing their produce, and I mean, it was just so fun. And by the end of the day, the winds kind of started to get not scary, but just like, wow, this is odd.
Right.
And so that day we go up, and I was renting a place on a beautiful property, and next door the people had a couple of horses, three kids, a few dogs, and at one point the owner had a house, and she just said, hey, you know, there's a wildfire out there, check that out. And I was like, yeah, we're fine, you know, thinking there's so many wildfires out here. And then not even an hour later, she said, we're not fine. And there's a place called the Beltane Ranch. Some people know of it, but that was what we were looking at. And that was the beginning. And that wind that I spoke about was crazy, because we went next door, and because her husband worked nights, he was a police officer. So we just thought they need help to get out. And here it is. I'm like, what do you need me to do? And she's like, I got to get the horses and the trailers. I got to get the kids, you know, whatever. And I'm holding the horse and I've got the reins, and the horse goes off the ground. And at this point I realized, oh my God, like this is, it was the winds were like a hurricane. And at that point we were looking out, and the fire had just, it's behind us. Wow. And by that time the fog, you know, horns from down on Hano, where I was living, just said, evacuate now, evacuate now. And that was the night that it was all over the news. Fires were just raving through the streets.
Right. Sounds devastating. Did people die in that fire?
They did. I'm like reliving it. The Santa Rosa they had an elderly complex, and that is adjacent to Glen Ellen as well. Like, they're all abutting towns, and they couldn't get out. They just didn't have enough. So a lot of the people in that elder housing, they lost their lives.
Right.
But a lot of people on the road that I lived on lost, you know. And it was interesting, because the way the wind was, it was almost like the fire was picked up and placed, and then, you know, completely cleared somebody's property, and then the next one was saved.
Right.
And ours, the whole thing went.
The whole thing. And did you have like a large house and everything? Was it a ranch style house?
I had a two-bedroom, two-bath, upstairs, downstairs. Honestly, it's the largest place I lived in California that I rented. Yeah, and I loved it. And I just, it was something so magical, because, you know, I ended up doing, I actually do retreats with people and work with people on the land, and that property gifted me that as well. So I got to, you know, half my livelihood was working on the property.
Right.
And, you know, we ate from the garden, had fruit trees, like truly just nourishing every part of me. And so it took a while to shake that off, but I ended up going out to Bodega Bay, and I truly just took time off, because I trained in Western medicine as a family nurse practitioner and was working at the hospital. And initially, right after the fire, I just went there. I actually went there that night, because I had to work a shift the next day, and I just, you know, you couldn't wake somebody up at 1:30 in the morning. And the person that owned the property, she had a place in San Francisco, and she's just, come on in. And I'm like, no, I got to come back to Sonoma to work. And it was just so eerie because everybody gathered at the Starbucks, just waiting in line to get a cup of coffee from Glen Ellen. Like our whole town evacuated.
So and now you lost everything as far as like memories, things that you had around you. I mean, because we've been talking about this since the fire in Paradise, because my friends lost everything there too, including their business. And it was hard to imagine, you know, losing everything you have in such a, you know, in a brief moment, and then you have nothing, you know. So how did you make a comeback? How did you recover from that?
Well, it was interesting because at first I just kept working because I didn't know what to do. Look at him. I can feel all that come back.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was crazy. But at the same time, I think I worked just because I just wanted to stay busy. And then someone, you know, said, you need to call the FEMA. They like provide housing. Like you don't have anything. And, you know, it's interesting because I don't wear sweats when I work. Or scrubs at work. I always, you know, get dressed because I, you know, have to see patients. And, you know, I just had the clothes on my back and that was it. That's all I walked out with was my knapsack, my laptop and my wallet, and the rest went. And so I went there and just went down to the OR and said, you know, I need some scrubs. And I just kept wearing those. And it was, you know, it was like some epiphany. Someone said, you need clothes, Regina. And it was like, I'm fine. And, you know, the whole gist of the I'm fine thing is that, you know, I'm self-sufficient. I can take care of myself. And, you know, through this, it truly ended up being like such magic for me to learn about myself in a way that I had yet to do. And, you know, in the book, the reason the book came through is FEMA had two options. They said you can go to Oakland or you can go to Bodega Bay. And so Bodega Bay is like an hour from Sonoma. And, you know, I thought that's a no brainer. It's on the ocean.
Right. Sounds great.
It was because it was the initial fires that I think FEMA didn't have a lot of outlying hotels or, you know, places that would put people up. So it was really the beginning of it. And so I ended up going there, and after commuting back and forth, I started taking less shifts at the hospital. And so after a month, I said to the owner of the inn, I just said, hey, you know, I'm wondering if there's anything I can rent out here for a few months. And he said, funny enough, I bought a property and it's got to be fixed up. So you'll have to deal with some noise. But the guy only works 3 days a week.
Right.
So I was like, tell me the days of the week. And then I ended up, the minute I said yes to that lease, I woke up and 12 hours later, I was writing and I realized I hadn't eaten a thing. And that was the beginning of the book.
Yeah.
And
so tell us now, what's the title of the book, Regina?
It's called What Color Is Your Medicine?
What Color Is Your Medicine? And, okay. So tell us a little bit about the book itself. What do you discuss there?
So I work in Western medicine, but through my career, I studied energy medicine. And before that, the book shares about my own journey. And I lost someone that I was married to and had been with him for 10 years. And I was 30, he was 35, and someone gifted me to see a healer. And, you know, I knew everything then. I didn't need a healer. And few months had gone by and someone said, you know, you should use that gift certificate. And I was like, yeah, he had given it to me because he thought I needed it after such a horrific loss.
Right.
And so I ended up going, and that was the beginning of knowing that I knew nothing in medicine as far as what energy meant, what the Chinese traditional five elements meant. And so it was the beginning of my story of really understanding what it is to really grieve, but also what our bodies do in the midst of traumas and our emotional content being held in the body. And I didn't realize it until that healing. And so after that, it was really, really a self-discovery of really what is medicine. What does this mean to help people?
Right.
I thought, you know, I prescribe you, you have allergies, here's your Zyrtec, you're on your way, give you a couple of nose sprays, and, you know, right. and you have lung problems, you have this. And so I started really investigating the five elements after that. And I found this Chinese medicine physician at a conference I went to, and that was it. He sold me. And so the book shares the wisdom of what the five elements do. And so each of them bring in a body part, bring in emotion, bring in different areas. And so I started using them in the exam room with people. And I just kept seeing miraculous changes. And all I would do is one of the cases in the book I share in the element of metal. And so the elements themselves, right, it's fire, which fire clears. And I had completely just been through it. Fire, which is on the heart, has to do with our arterial system. And the emotions that have to do with each one of them are, say, I won't say positive and negative, but, you know, they're not in balance when they're, so if you have hate or greed or jealousy, that's on the heart. It's on the fire element.
Right, right.
But also,
so I don't want to go.
Love, passion. You know?
Yeah, Regina, I want to leave some of this for the listeners to read and stuff. So, and we don't have to cut time to cover all the elements, but I hear you, and it sounds, so you've been, now, so you said you studied Western medicine here, right? And then you discovered all this and you thought, I really don't know anything that I thought I did. So you feel that this is a better way to heal people than what you learned in school?
You know, I'm glad you asked me that because it's not better, right? It's just, I feel like it's more well-rounded.
Oh,
like I see the whole person. So if you come in, right, and you've got, you know, bronchitis, and then, you know, I look at the chart and, oh, it's interesting, you had pneumonia last year, and, oh, you had bronchitis when you were a kid a lot. And then I basically just say, hey, you know, that's on your lungs. I wonder what your lungs are holding. Mm. And, you know, in the book I share, you know, exactly that. And a young teenage kid, you know, had lost her grandfather, and that grandfather was her father. And miraculously or not, she ended up with asthma right after that. And so I bring you through each of the elements with each of the body parts and how we really hold stuff.
Right.
And we don't even know it.
So it affects.
And so these.
So it's like emotional stuff.
At the end of the book, too. Well, sorry. I just had to tell you that because, you know, there's ways to help yourself. And that's why I wrote it. Because it's. Yeah. I don't need to be the one to share all this, right? If you pick up the book and you read in the back of it, you'll put yourself in the book. Because, you know, the earth has gut issues. A lot of people have, you know, irritable bowel, stuff going on with relationships, and the earth is the element of relationships. So it's, you know, it's easy to follow, but I consolidate the Chinese elements into very, like a little kit that you can take along with you. I'm not a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner. I trained in energy medicine. So I did a 4-year study of that with a bunch of other healing modalities.
Sounds very interesting, you know. So tell people how they can find the book, how they can contact you, find out more information, because it seems like you're able now with everything that you learned to help people heal themselves even. So the title of the book again, Regina?
Is What Color Is Your Medicine?
Okay. And do you
my last name is Powers, Regina Powers.
Right.
And, and I do, on my website, you can Google What Color Is Your Medicine and you'll find my website.
Okay.
And I do have a energy medicine practice and do journeys on the land with people. And it's on Amazon, and I also did the audio book, so you can get it on Audible or iTunes.
Sounds great.
And it's in paperback, Kindle, and audio.
Well, it sounds like you went through some traumatic experiences, but you've lived to talk about it and write about it, and I think that's enough meaning for one lifetime. You know, when people look for meaning in their life, well, there you go, you know. So, at any rate, Regina Powers, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Everybody go out, get the book, and contact her and get a little more better idea of this medicine. I mean, it sounds great to me. If I can do something instead of taking medication and stuff, I'm all for it, you know. So there you go. Regina Powers,
thank you so much.
Of course, thank you for joining us and reaching out, and all the best to you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Regina. So, the story, you know, people go through some things and then you run into people and you go, you learn new things and it changes your life, you know. It's interesting, yesterday... they interviewed me on the phone for the major Hebrew language newspaper here in L.A., in America, actually, right? So distributed around the states, an Israeli paper, and they wanted to interview me because I went to something, I met somebody. She said, oh, I sell advertising for the paper. Why don't we do a story on you? Because she heard about the radio station that I discussed there and stuff. So, so now I connected. They called me and they wanted to interview me.
That's good.
So they're going to do a full-page story on me. She asked me things for like 45 minutes. I'm like, I felt like a star, you know? It's pretty cool, actually. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, what's interesting is that I get to be on the other side of the interview.
Right.
You know, so it was pretty cool, actually, to have the spotlight on yourself. Mm-hmm. But, So, Jussie Smollett, the latest, we talked about it yesterday, right?
Yeah,
but the thing is that, hold on a second, where's the story about him? Damn it. Oh, okay. So, this was in Chicago, and he was, his case was just dropped and dismissed after he implicated a couple of people in jumping him, right?
And beating
him up and all
right,
that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, that's like a big no-no, and he was arrested and everything. And then his lawyer announced they dropped the case. But the interesting thing is the police are getting pissed off now because they're saying we invested a lot of time and resources into this.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that there's a case. And why is this just being dismissed? And nobody says anything. I mean, they just closed the case. They're not even.
But
we don't know
what happened behind the scenes, though.
Right, exactly.
And they can't legally talk about it.
Yeah. So, but they're saying the cops smelling political rat, you know, and it's probably political too, you know. I mean, you never know. We have so much fucking, everything we do today is politics, mm-hmm. you know. Fuck. Democrats, Republicans, black, white, straight, gay, you know, it's like we like are so divided in everything that it's, how are we ever going to bridge this gap again?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, you never know. I mean, maybe with a woman president.
Maybe so.
Yeah. We tried men.
Yeah, we have. Hasn't really worked out for us.
But who will come through? I mean, I don't even see anybody even close to being able to win or... I don't know. But there's so many people jumping in right now for the elections. You know, it's next year already.
I know. I can't believe it's been four years.
Isn't it like unfucking believable?
Bye, Trump.
2020.
See ya.
You really think so, huh?
Yeah, I don't think he'll be president again.
Okay, well, nobody believed he would be president
for
the first
time.
Yeah,
but I don't think he'll be president again.
I think he will.
Mm-mm, I think black people are actually going to get up and vote this time.
But it's not, you know how many black people are for him? You have no
idea.
Not
that many compared to the amount of people that
aren't. I see a lot of them on TV, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Even Donna
Brazile. Shame on them.
Donna Brazile, who was on CNN and was a leader of the Democratic whatever, signed on with Fox News now. Because people are realizing this is bullshit, you know. There's other ways to think.
I mean, he's racist.
He's not racist.
He's 110% racist.
He's not racist. He hasn't done anything racist. You know what I'm saying? People can talk all they want.
He's racist.
He's got a big mouth. I'm not going to
get into that. Don't even get into it. Sometimes it shocks me that you're non-white and you are for him. That's crazy to me.
What?
Yeah.
No, because he's a good president.
No.
And I don't think that, well, yeah, let's not get into it because it's, I feel so passionate about this stuff that it just gets out of control, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to, and this show is not about that.
Yeah. You
know? There's enough politics on TV to last you a fucking lifetime, you know?
Yeah, which I'm not watching.
And besides, you know, in politics, what I realize is you can sit here, you get passionate, people get pissed off, and nobody changes their mind, right? So why even bother talking about
it? Right.
And that's what happens, you know. And often in conversation, you try to convince each other, you try to explain your point of view and hope people can see it, but nobody's listening.
Right.
Nobody's fucking listening, man. I mean, everybody's doing whatever they want to do, and that's it. And think whatever they think, and that's it. That's why we have this division, and I don't think it's going to end anytime soon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you see it a lot, too. I mean, in England now, they're totally divided about shit, politics and stuff. And in Israel, and I suppose in other places as well. But people are divided. I don't know why. You would think with the internet making the world smaller, you know, that, yeah. But I think it's that anonymity that people have online, and they can say shit. You know, they say
shit.
It's
so easy to say anything you want online.
I know.
That's what it's there for, you know.
And what I don't understand is, you know, I put some posts and ads on Facebook and, you know, to get some exposure and stuff. And this guy comes on and he writes, so let me see if I understand you correctly. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, no, you're not understanding correctly at all. And
you get too mad.
I know.
Yeah,
I take it personal.
Yeah,
that's
why you literally cannot. You got to take all your emotions out of social media.
I know. I should not post anything, but no, it's my business.
But when you are putting your business out there,
right,
on social media, you have to understand that people can say, yeah, right, people can say whatever the fuck they want, even if it's offensive.
I can delete this fucking thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Too.
Don't
even
respond. Just say delete.
Yeah.
Block. Goodbye.
I know. But then they come back somehow and they go, oh, they delete the fucking comments. Well, no, I mean, because if I deleted it, it would mean like that I probably agree with him or something. But that's not the case.
Oh, no.
So I left it there.
I delete comments all the time and I block them. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, but again, it's a business, you know, and I don't want to seem like I'm a coward and deleting things.
Right.
But at the same time, if he's going to get nasty, he's out of there.
Right. Bye. Know?
Yeah.
Toodaloo.
Exactly. You're on my fucking thread and you're going to fucking talk shit about me, bust my balls.
But you got to understand that people can do that. That's what people do. Yeah.
Right.
You post anything, you're giving them, like, pretty much you're opening the door for them to talk.
I know. And that's what I say about the people that do post and they always complain.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, then don't put it out there, you know?
Right.
People are just not going to comment about it if you didn't say anything about it.
Right.
Yeah. So you're putting it out there. Well, people are going to give you their opinion, and I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to talk shit on my advertisement, well, fuck you, you know? I mean, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
It's not going to happen, man. So, yeah. But that's what you... It's like in every fucking post, you fucking find haters and trolls and, you know? It's unbelievable. Any post that's got more than a few comments is like that.
Mm-hmm. There's always, like, it's always, like, 70-30 or 50-50 when it comes to the
really?
Hate versus love, yeah. But the hate doesn't bother me.
You would know that, yeah. You have big numbers, so the
yeah, it's just, the like, I'm like, look at these
accurate.
Idiots. Look at you fucking morons.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty. So, let me ask you this. How long have you been on Instagram? How long did it take you to build such a following?
I feel like Instagram wasn't really popping when I first started doing reality TV. If it was, I'd probably have way more followers right now, which sucks. But, you know, just wasn't the right timing. So I've been on Instagram for about like 8 years.
8 years. You see, that's a long time. Mm-hmm. People think they can amass that many people. In like.
Well, it used to be, Instagram used to be way better when Twitter owned it.
Yeah.
Ever since Facebook bought it, it's just like everyone's always complaining about it.
Really?
They don't put posts in chronological order. Like, literally, I open my app and it'll be a post from 5 days ago. I don't give a fuck about a post from 5 days ago. I want to see what the fuck people are posting right now. Why is this at the top of my timeline?
Right.
And people like tweet them, talk about it all the time, and they're still not doing what people are asking them to do. Like, if you have millions of people telling you to do this, so they like the app better. Why aren't you fucking doing it? You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of considerations behind, but maybe they just feel they don't have to. They got such a big following.
I know, it's crazy.
They say fuck you, you know. But what would you say? Okay, so if somebody asks you what's the best way to increase your following, what would you tell them? If you're not famous, right? I mean, how do you get followers? People would want to know.
I mean, you have to like be on YouTube and stuff, honestly. Other than that, you just got to keep post. Like, I would post every single day. Like, if it's a female that's into, like, clothing and wants to be, like, a fashion page, she needs to post every single day. And eventually, right. People will come across her page and start following it. And when other people start following her page, people can go on Instagram and hit the following tab and see what other people are doing. And then other people recognize her page. Hashtags, definitely, for people that are new. Like, people that are into makeup, you got to post makeup videos every other day or every day. Like, there's this beauty person, her name's Amreezy, and she used to post every single day. Now she's at like almost like 5 or 6 million followers.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's that consistency.
You have
to
be
right?
consistent. Yeah, yeah. Like with my YouTube channel, I'm like, I'm posting like every day or every other day. Some videos will get 30,000 views, others will get 5. I don't care. I'm still going to post every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing about it. Also, another is probably to communicate and respond to comments.
Yeah,
you
got
to
interact. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I need to work on that.
But in Facebook, you know, apparently, I mean, at least from what I observed and then read about, that share button is your biggest friend. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, if you can get people to share your shit, it multiplies. It grows exponentially.
Same
you
with
know?
Instagram, though. When people yeah. share your posts on like their IG stories and stuff, that helps the growth of your page.
So they can share your story?
No.
On Instagram?
I don't know if they can share the story, but they can share your post.
They can't. I told you. We talked about it only through another app. They can
share. No, I mean, they can't share it on their timeline, but they can share it on their story.
That's what I just asked. Yeah.
Yeah, you okay. asked it in a very weird way, though.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, they can share your post on their IG story. And that helps because people are always watching IG stories. So it's like yeah. you just
got
to click on that.
Okay,
gotcha. And then that person can find you. Somebody yeah. new just found your funny clip or your meme or whatever.
Yeah. See, that's the holy grail, though, is figuring out how to create shit that'll be shared, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not easy. I mean, there's just about anything you can think about out there.
Mm-hmm.
In millions.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So, did you hear about Cardi B saying she used to drug and rob men?
No.
because she had limited options.
Some things you just got to keep to yourself, girl.
Right. But she says that the circumstances made her do it. I made the choices that I did at the time because I had very limited options.
Mm.
Yeah. Whatever that means. But she says... it was men that she had dated and they knew her. It wasn't just like strangers and shit, you know. But look at the stuff that she writes. I mean, I love when she talks, you know. It's like...
She's got a heavy accent, yeah.
No, not that. But the things she says, you know. She was talking about like... Because they had to bleep everything here. I never claimed to be perfect or come from a perfect world with a perfect past. I always speak my truth. I always own my shit. That's what she tweeted.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, amazing. She's come a long way.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Hopefully that'll be me in 5 years. May say, oh, man, I've come a long way.
Yeah.
2 years. Fuck 5 years.
Yeah. You know what's funny is this, you've come a long way, baby, used to be a cigarette commercial.
Oh, really?
You've come a long way, baby. Virginia Slims. Yeah, it was aimed at women.
Oh.
So they would show you like a woman that's really successful
right.
and confident and everything. You know, that's the way they were
selling cigarette commercials. Now the only cigarette commercials I see are like the Truth commercials that are like, whoa.
Yeah.
Definitely not smoking those things.
But I did see a commercial for vaping. Did you see that ever? For vapes.
Yeah, that vaping's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Oh. They're saying if you want to quit smoking, try this.
Oh, I haven't seen any of those, no. Yeah, yeah. I've seen commercials about vaping being bad. Yeah. That's it, though.
Yeah, no. So I started watching, I watched two nights already of the movie Dirt about Motley Crue?
Yeah.
You know them?
Yeah, Machine Gun Kelly is playing Tommy Lee.
Machine Gun Kelly
is a rapper.
Playing Tommy Lee?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, 110%.
That tall, skinny, white guy?
Yeah. He's playing Tommy Lee in that movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he plays him pretty good, though, but I didn't know where he was from. I'd never seen him before.
He lives in Sherman Oaks.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they all seem to. I mean, all the people that make it.
Right. Because
it's people in L.A. come to Hollywood to make it, you know. So
But he's been, Machine Gun Kelly's been in the game since like I was a kid.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's been in a lot of movies.
Oh, really?
And he's a rapper. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I would have never.
Him and Eminem went at it like six months ago when Eminem dropped his album. They like just did diss track after diss track for each other.
So he was a rapper and now he plays a rocker, a drummer in the movie.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but he's been acting for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this isn't like his first movie, you know?
Right, right. So, he's a good actor. So he's able to play a rocker.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a movie called Dirt on Netflix that just came out about Motley Crue and the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a documentary. I mean, they don't talk to people about it. It's just they act.
Yeah,
you know?
it's scripted. It's a scripted movie, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty good. And yeah, a lot of drugs, sex, you know, it's the classic story of rockers in the 80s, 90s, whatever. Fuck, man. But so I'm in the part where he met Heather Locklear. Tommy Lee did.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it yet, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Pretty good. You going to watch it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, you know? And then the guy got in an accident, one of them. The guy with him was killed because they were fucking drunk.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so he sat in jail for a few months. Yeah. Anyway, we're almost out of time. This woman had a baby bump, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or she had a bump, and people told her, go and get tested for pregnancy. Eventually, they found out she had two massive ovarian tumors.
Oh, my God, that's horrible.
And it looks like she's pregnant. She should have known. She's 49 years old, and maybe she wasn't even fucking anybody. I don't know. But
that's really sad.
It is, though, right?
Yeah.
Fucking tumors, man.
That's really sad.
Terrible. Terrible.
Mm.
And then a former playmate who was also a porn star claims that Alex Rodriguez was sexting her a month before he proposed to Jennifer Lopez. Sent her a picture of his erect dick, I suppose.
Yikes. Hopefully that's not true.
I know. Come on. I mean, men are like...
Men are pieces of shit.
Because they're so fucking horny all the time.
110%.
Yep. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you to Regina Powers for calling in. We always appreciate our listeners. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you all tomorrow and Friday. I think we have guests in the studio, so that should be cool. So don't forget to join us there. Take care.
Bye. Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.